Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America. The Music of America podcast kicks off the state of Texas today. We're in Rockport and we're going to meet superstar legend to be Karen Lawrence in just a moment. That's her laughing. You'll hear this bubbly personality in a minute. It's really this simple. Buy Kitty's litter box. Open the box. Place litter in the box. Introduce the box to the cat. After the cat has done their business for like a month or so, close the box and throw it away. That's it. Just close the box, grab the handle of this biodegradable box and throw it away. It's ideal for traveling with your favorite feline, affordable and convenient. That's the one thing I really didn't like about cats, and I don't know how it became my job, but I'm the one that always had to change the litter box. Well, you know what? If Kitty's litter box was around maybe 20 years ago, who knows? I might still have cats. Kitty's litter box, all lowercase, kittyslitterbox.com. Order today. It's perfect. And our guest, Karen Lawrence, a guest of a gentleman that promotes a lot of musicians on our show, Doug Deutsch. And so, how did you meet Doug?
Doug was our publicist in the 90s for the band, my band Blue by Nature.
Oh, okay.
And we did a lot, and he did a lot for us. So, with the release of this record, I thought, well, rather than just throw it out there on Facebook, you know, I need a pro punch, you know. I mean, it's an indie project, so fortunately he had time for me, so I feel really lucky. We're just getting started.
That's really cool. So now, is this with a new band then, or is this the same band?
It's all new. Okay. Everything's new. It's just not quote-unquote a band.
Okay.
It was recorded over a couple of years with a guitarist I met here in South Texas, Tony Saracene, and we just started jamming together with other locals, and it was just such a great combination. So, and I had been writing for years and years. Blue by Nature ended in the 1999. And so I've been writing, kind of doing solo stuff here and there. And this was just so refreshing, you know, speaking musical language again was inspiring. So I called Tony one night while I was out listening to one of my own recordings here on my little 16 track. And I was listening over and over and drinking some beers, looking at the moon. I'm going, Tony, we're going to make this record. We're going to do that. Yeah, so. Sure, he didn't really care if I called him at midnight, but so we started recording a couple years ago, you know, and finally came up with something.
That's really cool, though.
Enough recorded to put out.
I've got a house in Missouri, and I'm building a studio as we speak. I've got a guy working down there right now on the drywall work, and when it's done, when my buddies come over and jam, you know, we'll sit around, we'll have a couple of adult beverages or something, you know, and I want to be able to walk in, hit power on my recorder, and record, and then walk out.
Yeah,
and
that's what he does. That's what he does.
Yeah, and then we can
record jams and all rehearsals, and we got about 8 songs in the can right now.
Yeah,
that I just need to go. Oh, I finished. I did a vocal on that. Let me fix it here and there, or you know, put some more guitars on it, or keyboard, whatever. Yeah, so we'll get busy on that. You know, once you finish your project, you're on to the next thing. You know,
I can't
help that all the time.
So let's hop in the time machine. Let's go back to before Blue by Nature, and let's talk about Karen Lawrence and how she got started in music. Were you in high school? Did you play piano when you were 3? I mean, you know, how did you?
Yes, we had a piano in the house, and I highly recommend it, an upright piano in the den. You could hardly pass the den, well, I couldn't, without it. My mother played. She was self-taught. I found that out in her 80s.
Wow.
But she played, she sang, my dad sang. They used to go, although they didn't drink, they used to go to piano bars and sing.
Oh, fun.
And they both had beautiful voices. My dad was not trained, but his voice was beautiful. Anyway, so my mom, every night, you know, I go to sleep, she's playing, singing, and singing at Christmas. I mean, that was all a big deal. So anyway, and my sister and I were big show-offs, you know, dancing all around the house and pantomiming and all that stuff since I was just super small. And there were a couple of guitars hidden in a closet. They smelled so weird. I love that weird smell, these old guitars. Anyway, there were accordions around.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, there were all kinds of things. I mean, you know, maracas and all kinds of things. So we always played around with that and sang together as a family. We sang in the house constantly, you know, while you're cleaning house, my sister and my mom and I just, I've got to do the living room, you know, crazy things like that. And anyway, so then I got a girlfriend got a guitar for Christmas when we were, I think we were nine. And I didn't know she was getting a guitar. I got a ventriloquist dummy, a little plastic one, like Winchell Mahoney. So I got this little plastic dummy and I was into that. And then I found out she got a guitar. I was like, you never told me. And so I went out and got a guitar. She got hers at Sears. I got mine at Montgomery Ward. Or hers was an airline. Mine was a Stella. Anyway, so we started learning together. Mel Bay, I'm trying to say it fast because it is long, but I'll try to say it fast. And so I continued playing because it's obviously just something it's something that I was compelled to do through the pain of the fingering and all that. And I would play songs and she and I would harmonize. So we just kept doing stuff like that. And then I did this little show with my ventriloquist dummy and got on TV.
Oh, wow.
And, started singing at the end of my act, and so I just continued. Then I'd do my act when I got a better customized dummy, and then I would bring on my little group and we would sing, you know, Peter, Paul and Mary songs and things like that and folk songs. And so I just kept doing it. I had a great choir teacher that brought me out as a soloist when I was like in fifth grade. And she also let me do my little act as like an MC. And she was also a teacher for me in seventh and eighth grade. And I loved her so much. She was really a mentor, Mrs. Catherine Thorson. So she kept allowing me to do all kinds of stuff. And I then in ninth grade, it was I was 13 in ninth grade. And so before I turned 14, so it was before October, my birthday, I was in a music store with my girlfriend and I'm trying to learn Tambourine Man so I didn't have to buy the sheet music. And she's holding a guy comes, I'm playing it on guitar, you know, the chords. Yeah. And I'm humming along with it. And a guy comes up and says, hey, you want to be in our band? Literally, that's the rest is history. So at 13, and they had a very strange band. It was a lot of blues, mostly blues, but they did some Jimi Hendrix songs. Well, he's pretty bluesy, but you know, they did just whatever was out at the time, and a lot of blues. And of course, there were no songs. I didn't know any songs. Singing a band,
right.
So I was doing Stone Free. To Ride the Breeze.
Funny.
I'm Jimi Hendrix, and I think I tried to do
did you do any Janis?
I was just gonna say I did Piece of My Heart, right?
Yeah,
I did that, and I learned it, and we did it at a party, and it was such a struggle for me because, believe it or not, and people won't believe it, it's really not my style at all.
Really?
And I struggled with it, and I just felt like I was just copying, you know. Uh-huh. I couldn't stand it, so I just vowed, nope, done with that, never gonna do that again, not that song again. And it's also really hard for me to do other people's stuff, and I did for years, you know. But weird stuff too, very weird. We did a Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. We did stuff like that. I don't, you probably never heard of them.
No. They're
guy out of Frisco, great, you know, a lot of harmonies. We did Crosby, Stills, and Nash. You know, there weren't a lot of women that I had to copy.
Right. Yeah, know? Back then we had, Joni Mitchell, Joan Baez.
Yeah, and of course that wasn't my style either.
Yeah.
However, I did a back fan thing into Joni after Courtney Spark. Then I went back and bought all her 8-tracks. And so I was listening to Joni Mitchell, every single Joni Mitchell album, going backwards from whatever year that was. I don't know. Those were the 70s.
Yeah.
And I went back, and Blue was my favorite album. And so I'd be listening to Blue and, not King Crimson, Gentle Giant.
Wow.
On my 8-track in my Volkswagen. And I'm telling you, you couldn't tell where one song ended the other. So, oh, my God. It was like being on some hallucinogenic drug.
So was there a female vocalist that helped you find your voice? Would it have been like Ronstadt? Would it have been later like Fleetwood Mac?
No. You got to go into stuff that's much more soulful.
Okay.
Like Gladys Knight or
Motown. Motown song.
Do those songs, but that's really in retrospect. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really where my ear would perk up. I'm telling you, I'm more likely going to say James Brown than any female. Uh-huh. And I'm not kidding. I mean, it's embarrassing. I don't want to say this, but I've noticed it lately that when I'm writing a song or I'm doing the early part of a song, like in my living room, right? Working out on the guitar or whatever. I mean, I must think that I'm a man, yeah. A guy singing the song. It's weird.
I could see you dancing around. I could see you dancing around like James Brown.
Oh yeah. Oh, I definitely can do that. Let me tell you what.
Do you do that in your show? Do you do the spins and the splits and all that stuff?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, funny. Now you got a new album out.
Once I go down, I can't get back up. I don't know.
Oh, that's why you have stage hands.
Yeah. Hey, come here.
You've got a new CD out. You mentioned a new CD, and we're going to hear a few songs. We're going to hear 4 songs from your CD. And the first one is called Made to Move. So is it Made to Move because you're made to move because you're like James Brown and you're made to move? Or is it because you've got to go from Texas to Missouri to Oklahoma and you're made to move?
No, I made move. I'm not going to sit still.
Yeah.
I like to move. I mean, literally, the song started, literally, I mean, this is stupid. Literally, I sang that out loud after I was working out.
Oh, running. Wow.
I know. That's really literal, but it just resonated so much that by the time I got home, which was probably 3 minutes, I probably had two verses, almost a done song, because I turned it into something else, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm pretty antsy person. Like, I joke that you got to hit me over the head with a mallet just to go to sleep. Yeah. And heaven forbid, if I wake up, I keep paper next to the bed. You know, I'm pretty hyper. I'm not hyperactive. I'm just kind of hyper. I have lazy days.
You have lots of energy.
What's that?
You have lots of energy. Yeah. So what's the name of the new CD?
The Blues is Back.
The Blues is Back. And we'll hear that title track at the end of the show here. Right. But the first song we're going to hear from The Blues is Back then with Karen Lawrence, it's right here. It's called Made to Move here on the Music of America podcast.
Got a rambling soul, best thing I do, skip out the back door, put holes in my shoe. Now fair warning, I'm just passing through, won't stay for a long time, like to make some time with you. I made a move. My home is on that's how I'm made up. I don't play by the rules. Ain't no fighting game. I'm a lover through and through. But when I'm walking away, I get my back to my blues. Just where I'm headed, any dusty trail will do. All night long, I've been loving on you. Come a crack of dawn, the stone is rolling on through. I'm in the moon, yeah.
Lawrence and the first song from her new album Blues Is Back, that song called Made to Move. Karen, one of the things I enjoy about this podcast thing is, and I say this all the time, people will send me their songs and I'll look at them and I'm like, oh, they're going to cover such and such. And then I find out it's not. I had a woman from Memphis, home of Elvis Presley, sent me Return to Sender, and it was a ballad, and it was about breaking up with a guy. And I'm just going to have to return this to the sender. But it wasn't return to sender, you know, which is what I expected. So the next song of yours, I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, wow, she's going to cover Lionel Richie's Easy. Easy like a Sunday morning.
Easy.
And it's not.
Yeah, well,
it's
that's the thing about the English language, you know.
Yeah.
We do use those same words for different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about Easy. Because
couldn't come up with a different title on that one. That was a very inspired tune. I mean, you know, I have my inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting out on my porch in South Dakota. And the porch is kind of high up. And I have like 400 feet or yards or something to the road. So it was kind of an expansive five acres in the front of the property.
Yeah.
And so standing on that porch, big porch, it's like a stage. Uh-huh. And so after my inspiration, say from the night before, this was a song that I wrote.
So we're not going to talk about the inspiration then, right? We're just going to talk about...
he'd be so proud. He would be so proud. He says, I give her plenty of inspiration. Actually, I put it in the credits.
That's funny.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let's give it a listen. This is Easy with Karen Lawrence here on the Music of America podcast.
Thank you. look back. That's what they say. You won't find tomorrow lost in yesterday. One step at a time down that lonesome road, it's gonna fill your empty heart and mend your sorry soul. But it won't come easy. Someone's gonna cry. Can I put you through? And how many sweet dreams broken into? They say go and set free the one you love the most, and if he never comes back, it wasn't yours to hold. But it won't come easy. Someone's gonna cry. It won't come easy saying goodbye. It won't come easy. Someone's gonna cry. It won't come easy saying goodbye. Oh, it won't come easy. It won't come easy. It won't come easy. Never look back.
The song is called Easy with Karen Lawrence here on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. We've got a couple more songs from Karen we'll listen to in a moment. Ladies, you know, you don't need big promises. You need results, right? Simple Beauty Retinol Moisturizer contains only the best ingredients for your skin. It doesn't contain unnecessary ingredients that may cause your skin further skin issues. Specifically formulated, the retinol moisturizer helps reduce the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, making the skin appear younger, softer, smoother. A powerful combination of antioxidants like vitamins A, C, B5, E, fight premature aging by blocking DNA-damaging free radicals and promoting softness and elasticity. It contains natural ingredients like aloe vera, jojoba oil, rose water, sunflower oil, which are all great at alleviating a variety of skin conditions. Simple Beauty Retinol Moisturizer at simplebeautyskincare.com. It simply works. Whenever I get a female vocalist or female solo artist. I always do that commercial because I figure women are going to tune into this a lot more than men, and men just don't do skincare products.
I don't think so. But that's not my experience, Tom. But call me, an old bigot or something.
So tell me about your touring. I guess Blue by Nature. We got up to being 13 and being in a band, but we didn't get to Blue by Nature. And then.
Okay. So during the high school band, I was recruited out of that band that I was in for 5 years. Through high school, I did a stint with another band, an excellent band called Saga, fabulous players. But I got recruited and we formed a band called LA Jets out of LA, and kind of obviously, right? And got signed through a production company to RCA, and we recorded in Record Plant in Sausalito. Awesome experience. That was the same time that Fleetwood Mac was recording their first album, Rumors.
Rumors, wow.
In the studio at the same time. Pretty funny story, but I'm not going to go into it. We weren't allowed to be in the hallway when they were in the studio because they were having fights. They were fighting. Lindsay and Stevie, and they were, anyway, that was the story. But it was a fantastic studio, Record Plant. And we released that, 1976? We went on tour all over the place, like 3 months, all summer. And we didn't live anywhere. They just would stick us in a hotel room, hotel rooms, or rent us a house, and then just try to, what are you going to do with a band to keep it together? Anyway, so then they stuck us in Bearsville outside of Woodstock to do a second album. That's when I wrote that famous song, Prisoner, that was later recorded by Barbra Streisand and most recently Joe Bonamassa.
Really?
You wrote that? I do a great walk-on. Not selfish. Very considerate. Anyway, so that's when that was written.
No, wait, back up. You wrote Prisoner. Yeah. You wrote Prisoner. Yeah. I did not know that. Well, how about that?
You know that song?
Oh, I know that. Yeah, I was working on radio when they came out. I'm like a prisoner. Yeah.
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 Oh, you have quite the voice there, Tom.
Yeah, I got a face for radio.
Yes, I wrote it. In fact, I even put a little, I recorded it on my piano here.
Well, I'll be darned. I'm in the presence of greatness. I was at the time, it was in this little town, this little town of Chanute, Kansas. We had a radio station.
Is that a real name?
It really is a name, Chanute, Kansas. Oh, it's down in the southeast corner of Kansas. Named after aviator Octave Chanute, by the way. Anyway, it was the radio station format I called AOR, and AOR was one.
Oh, I know.
Album-oriented rock, but ours was AOR, all over the road. They'd play a bluegrass song and then play a classical music tune. I'm like, stop it. So we brought in an adult contemporary format. And at the time, Streisand hit with Prisoner, Streisand hit with Neil Diamond and You Don't Bring Me Flowers, Streisand hit with Barry Gibb. Streisand hit with everything,
It's on that song. My song is on her Greatest Hits 2 album.
No kidding.
That album has all those songs on it. Evergreen. I think it has the Send Me No Flowers one. It's 4 times platinum.
Wow.
And I have one on my wall.
Do you really? How cool is that? That is awesome. Did you get a chance to meet? Have you met Barbra?
Yes. In fact, she was very gracious. We opened our band, the LA Jets. Remember I talked about that?
Yeah.
We opened. This was all because of the connections with the entertainment company that signed us to RCA. Uh-huh. Anyway, we opened for the movie, a concert scene, that big old concert scene for A Star Is Born.
Right.
We were the first band on.
Oh, wow.
At 7 a.m. My first concert, that's 100,000 people. And Billy Graham was the fabulous promoter.
Yeah.
He was the promoter. And first of all, I remember standing backstage and he was holding me like this, holding me by my stomach right here.
Yeah.
and like holding me back from the going on stage. And then he goes, go. And it was just, it was the most exciting thing. I mean, of course, I just took it all in my stride. I didn't get nervous or anything. It's just nutty. Of course, I've been playing, you know.
Sure. Forever.
But still, 100,000 people, that's
insane.
See the picture of me doing it. I'm like this. No inhibitions, just crazy. Anyway, she was gracious enough to come backstage after our performance somewhere during the day before she had to do her thing,
right.
and did an interview with me, a press op, you know?
You're kidding. And that's so awesome. Yeah,
she was so gracious, and she's, you know, what do you say? She asked me, this is a story that you might see this later if it unfortunately comes out, because you know how a lot of people will copy another interview. They just copy the text. Oh, Karen Lawrence taught Barbara Streisand to sing. That's what it turned into. Which I thought was a miracle, and I hope she doesn't think that I said that. But she asked, how do you move like a rock star? And so my famous one was, I mean, among other things I said was, I say famous because some people are quoting it, where you know, you could hold the mic up like this, something like that. That's about all I did.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just nice, and we have a nice picture. I'm looking at it right now. You can see all my stuff. My ode to me in the, you know, the background here. It's just like, oh, every picture I ever took that got developed. And,
there's 12 pictures, you know.
they're everywhere. Anyway, so I'm looking at that, and a picture about that was this big.
Yeah.
I blew up into an 8x10. Sent it to all the old band members of the audience. That was really from behind stage. That was very cool. Anyway, so that was a concert, and that's when I met her. And then same person brought her to the Roxy when that same band played at the Roxy. And she came backstage, I think it was before the show, and after the show, and was, you know, very complimentary. We didn't do a photo op, but she was just, you know, just gracious, very gracious.
That's so cool. And so how did Prisoner get in her hands?
Through the
production. Okay.
Company. I don't know if you've ever heard of Charles Koppelman. I think he does Michael Jackson's Sony music.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a song man.
Okay.
And originally, I mean, you know, from the whatever, 60s or even maybe further.
I don't even know if he's around anymore, is he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. That was the entertainment company that we were directly signed to, and they in turn got us signed to RCA. So that's how it got into that movie. Uh-huh. Yes, I met on John Peters. He said he wanted to use me for his new movie called Eyes.
Of Little Mars.
He knew what it was about yet. Honestly, it was several years later that movie came out.
Wow!
But he said, I want to use you in my movie called Eyes. Yeah. Anyway, that was really funny back in the day. Anyway, but so Charles got the song in, and she sang it, and that has sustained me.
Yeah.
That gets my foot in a door.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But I love that Joe Bonamassa covered it. I have heard, I've heard a lot of his stuff, and I like to listen to Bluesville, you know, Sirius Radio.
Right.
And I was listening to that one night, and I'm hearing this beautiful guitar work and, you know, beautiful chords and all this stuff. And I go, wow, what is that? You know, I turn it up, and then it turns into Prisoner. thrilled.
Is it? No, I want to go hear. I want to go hear that. I want to go out and watch A Star Is Born again now.
But she doesn't do that song.
No, but you're in it, you said, right?
We're not in it. We're on the poster.
I see. Okay.
Not in the movie. But all that right. Crap, that was my first concert. Gotcha. Yeah, just think of that. That was pretty outrageous.
Yeah.
And with the release of this CD, Tom, the Star Is Born fan page paid a nice compliment to me.
Oh, how cool. That's really cool.
Yes. I thought that was, in fact, they said something so nice. I can't remember what it was, but I copied it, you know, and it was like quote, quotable. I'll put that in my with my little reviews and stuff. It was just wonderful. That's so fun.
So
to have something that famous, you know.
So then after that was the LA.
LA Jets. Then we got signed. We got dropped hotter than a hot potato. We never finished the never finished the second LA Jets album. However, we did do Don Kirshner's rock concert in LA.
Yeah, how about that?
Yes.
Friday night, and I
sing it, and I look like a baby.
How funny!
Look like a baby. Oh my god!
Is that out there on? Is it out on YouTube? You think?
No.
Okay.
You can't. I got it because I get it because I called the film archives or something. I don't know how I was so clever. I called it when I was in LA. I called them there in New York. And I think it was the Film Institute, which I have visited when I lived in New York. I used to go there a couple times. Anyway, I called there and he was so nice. He said, well, we're not supposed to release it because it's not, you know, licensed or public or anything like that. But since it's you, and this is just over the phone.
Yeah.
He sent me a copy.
Oh,
and
cool.
I've tried to leak it. I've tried to leak it, but it's so illegal that it just gets stopped.
Right.
All the numbers, you know, run at the bottom of the page, but it's full color. We do like 16s. Anyway, so we got dropped and then we formed me and the drummer, John Desautels. Christine Desautels, his sister, was our manager. John and I went on to form a band that was named 1994, and we got signed to A&M Records with the help of Jack Douglas, who is, you know, Aerosmith, Cheap Trick's producer. Somebody got to speak up for you. Somebody got to say, they're going to be good. I'm going to make this record. I'm going to make it good. And so in this time, it was Jack. And so we got signed in 1994. 1994 made two albums for A&M. And then we got dropped like a hot potato. Well, the second album was very expensive.
Yeah.
It wasn't really our fault, but we just maybe had a little too much fun. And it was going and going.
I understand. That can happen.
That's absolutely not my fault. Because when I'm doing song, especially like I'm going off on the endings or, you know, ad libs and stuff, the people in the control booth are saying, come on, baby, let's do it again. They're all in there drinking beer. They're all partying and they're going, okay, do it again. Can we take it from the solo? Anyway, so was over, and then I was a solo artist. So I got signed to, at that time, that was when music was transitioning to new wave, punk, blah, blah, blah. We made that second album in L.A. I moved back to my apartment in New York and chopped off all my poodle haircut and threw away all my tall boots because I just saw what was, you know, I've been kind of out of it, really. Been making an album for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I lost my voice completely. Smoking and drinking and getting to the studio at 9 and leaving at 7 in the morning and carrying on. And so I lost my voice, went to a famous voice doctor like Stevie Nicks, Whitesnake Guy, all these famous people in Beverly Hills. And he said, your vocal cords look like they've been barbecued. And of course, I quit smoking then and there. And he said, you need to shut up completely for 1 month.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Just that let was everything regenerate.
I used to put gray duct tape over my mouth like that and do stuff like that.
Did it work? Did it work?
Yeah, it did. It did. It did. And I had to do it one other time too. I had to do it again. And
and what happened? What happened? Do your vocal cords regenerate?
When you overwork and sing the way I was singing, you know, I used to lose my voice a lot on tour, and I didn't really think there was anything to do about it. But later, like in the 80s, I went to a coach. I'd been to a couple, but they're kind of people that want to stylize you, and I thought they were just, this wasn't for me. But this woman was taught me a different way to approach singing, and it's a little nasalier, and I know it.
Yeah.
But you know what? I can go all night long and I can go every day, and it allows me to riff out better, my, you know, with more air and more control. So, a little sacrifice, you know.
It's the price we pay for our art, right?
It's, you know, yeah. I mean, that's the way it is. So whatever. Anyway, so then I got signed RCA. I did a solo album with a little more punk rocky kind of weird kind of thing, which was wonderful. Loved it. So much fun. But we kind of got dropped.
I'm noticing a pattern of hot potatoes here.
There was a lot of trouble and turmoil going on in music in business. Music,
yeah.
Anyway, so then I made a second album. I made another solo album in 87, called Rip and Tear. By the way, the two 1994 albums and the Girls Night Out album are available on CD. They got reissued.
How about that?
By an English company, two English companies. And I'm hoping they'll do Rip and Tear. See that poster?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's from the Rip and Tear album. And I'm not trying to show that poster. This is just the only angle I could get where the room looked kind of clean. So that poster's there.
Well, it's audio only anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's for your eyes only.
So let's get to the next song here, because your true love is music. Okay.
Well, yes.
Your true love is music. Is the song about that, or is this more about a human true love?
Best friend.
Best friend. Oh.
Third time I did it. Well, there was I found a cassette. Of a little riff I had written, like 1977 on acoustic guitar. Anyway, and so I just took True Love and I laid it over that, a progression I created.
Uh-huh.
And I really dug it. So that's the standing version. And here's the next cool thing. That friend of mine, guitarist, Tony Saracene, right, who I said I've been working with, he texted me one day when I was in South Dakota, like for the holidays or something, winter holidays, and he said, check your email. I did True Love. And I'm like, oh, what? Oh, no, 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 oh, no, oh, no. Here's where we part being friends. I'm going, oh, my God, no, he messed with my song. Oh, no, 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 what did he do? And I pulled it up on the email, but I didn't click play. You know, I was just so nervous. I'm standing up. I'm walking around. I'm going, oh, no. Oh, no. I didn't want to hear it. Finally, I just clicked play, and he did all the instruments.
Wow.
And he based it off of what I did. My song is in there, but he did all the other stuff. And he's very talented. And I just started singing with it. I'm going, holy Toledo, man, this is fantastic. It's almost the same the way I sing it.
Yeah,
it's the same as when I sang it with my acoustic, but it's just so impactful. And now it can be on an album, where I wouldn't put the other version on an album necessarily. Yeah. I just be tootling along. So I love this song, and I was really thrilled to see that. Another radio station had played it. I took a picture of the screen and I sent it to Tony. I said, check it out. It's one of my favorite songs. You know, I don't know if it's a fan favorite. Of course, who would know, because this thing just came out. But it is one of my favorites, the lyric and everything about it. I love it.
If we see you on the Grammys next year, then we'll know.
Goodness. And you know what? Hey, you don't have to be on the Grammys to know.
That's true. That's true. We're just going to appreciate it as it stands right now. We'll listen to it. Karen Lawrence from Rockport, Texas, and the song called True Love here on the Music of America podcast.
Luck was on my side. Long, lonesome road, yeah. I ain't satisfied. little more than less. I've been lost, not found. Only a true love can set me free. Only a true, true love holds the key to open up my blind heart. Let my weary soul see a true saw the failing light. I said, Lord, now if you will, show mercy tonight. So hard to find, just out of reach. Leave pride behind, you'll get what you need. Whoa, whoa, dear, true love can set me free.
True Love with Karen Lawrence here on the Music of America podcast. You meet, you fall in love, you commit to each other. That's the easy part. But somehow after, I don't know, 2 years or so, things begin to be challenging. Emotions and flair have waned. You disagree more, feeling disillusioned at times. Well, this period of disappointment can last a long time, even years. That's usually when couples seek out a therapist to help them learn better communication skills. Well, 2 years after forever is a relationship workbook dedicated to help couples find that effective communication. This guidebook, sort of a how-to book, teaches you some skills to learn about communication deficiencies that likely exist. But better, it offers exercises to improve those skills, be a better communicator, a better partner. 2 years after forever, it's not a self-help book. It's a workbook. You have to do the work. And if you do these exercises together and apply the lessons learned, you will absolutely see a difference in your relationships, particularly lasting into the future, like forever. 2 years after forever. 2 years after forever.com. 2 years after forever, available at Amazon today and forever. So we've talked about Made to Move. We've talked about Ease. We've talked about True Love. And I just talked about a relationship workbook. So,
yeah.
So, and I heard you say the H word, husband, before. So yeah. How does this work, being a professional musician that's achieved a pretty good success? You know, I would call it a very successful career. How does that work in a relationship with another human being?
Well, he's very good at what he does. Uh-huh. I said he was a contractor, but he's very good at it. And he's very confident of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I saw in him. And I thought that he was man enough, frankly. You know, I used to think that if some guy approached me, he was either stupid, dumb, or he had a lot of chutzpah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Joe has a lot of chutzpah.
Yeah.
A lot of chutzpah. And I think that's what carries it through. He's very proud, too. P.S. I didn't tell him what I did. I didn't tell him I was a singer.
No kidding.
I didn't anything. I was wearing board shorts I bought from the girl across the hall from me for 50 cents, a Hanes t-shirt, bathing suit underneath, a baseball cap, no makeup when we met.
How'd you meet?
So, yeah, he actually likes me without makeup still to this day. So that
oh, week. Really?
Okay. But yeah, I think it's because he's confident and, but I won't just make it sound easy. This has been a long, long time we've been together and there are, you know, we definitely have moments. I mean, honestly, I've never stopped writing songs. I'm trying to think of a happy one. No, we have a lot of challenges because we have really strong personalities.
Right.
And I have a very strong personality and, you know, but I can tell you this, I usually am the one that crosses the 50-50 line.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to be stubborn about it. I can be, but I'm not a stubborn person. I'm not a jealous person. It's a good thing because he's a good-looking man.
You know, but, Matthew McConaughey has this theory on relationships. He says if you're trying to do 50-50, it's not going to work. But if you're both giving 90% and only expecting 10% back, and you're both doing that, that works.
Oh, expecting 10%. Well, you know what? That's fine. I think you can make a statement like that, but it all depends on what the person is.
Yeah.
And so, like that exercise that they were talking about, that's great if each person is practicing the exercises.
Right.
But if only one person is doing it, which is often the case, you know, you just have to keep working.
Yep.
You know, hopefully, like we do, you know, you have so much that's in common, like integrity. Is a really big deal, you know.
The Blues Is Back is the album. The Blues Is Back is the title cut.
Yes, yes.
Who do you think you sound like? Like if somebody called you up and said you sound just like me on this song, who would that be?
On this song?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue.
Okay, because the answer is Karen Lawrence, right?
I sang, "What's love got to do with it?" You know, maybe I sound like Tina. Or something. I would love it if it would be a big compliment if Gladys Knight would call me and say I sounded like her.
Would you?
I don't own a single Gladys Knight album, but really? You know, that's kind of edge I like. I admire that a lot.
If somebody called you up and said, "We want you to do the soundtrack for this artist," it would be Gladys Knight, huh?
Oh, I don't know.
James Brown.
You couldn't, and nobody would ask me that because I'm just so uppity. I'd say, "What are you talking about?" Not doing that. You're getting me nuts. I don't do imitations, all right? You got that? Never ask me again.
Yeah, it sounded like an imitation of Sylvester Stallone.
It sounds like
Marlon Brando, okay. That's why you don't do impersonations.
Don't ask me to do something like that again.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get it.
You got it. No, you got it there at the end. It was good. Well, let's listen to it. Title track from Blues Is Back with Karen Lawrence.
Still broken too. I can't deny it. Oh, I can't stop crying. I can't get over you. Oh, it wasn't right the way you left without a word, leaving me a mess. And oh, it's all true. No matter what I do, I can't get over you. Back.
back with Karen Lawrence, Rockport, Texas, as we kick off Texas here in the Music of America podcast. Karen, this is the segment of the show where you really get to shine, and we tell us how we can find you and support you and buy your merch and buy your albums and go see you in concert and festivals and all that stuff. So what's coming up, let's say, in May through the rest of the year? Do you have a new album coming out? Do you have tours coming up? Tell me what's going on for you in May or in 24.
This album has just come out. It's the first I've had out in a long time, so I'm going to milk the heck out of it.
Yeah.
And I haven't really assembled stuff, but if you want to find out what happens, I guess you'd have to look at Facebook things and an Instagram thing that I don't manage, so don't try to contact me. I don't work it, but I'm old school, baby. But just keep checking out this album. You know, I have kind of high hopes for it. Like we talked about earlier, Doug Deutsch is promoting it. And, you know, that's about all I can say. I do mostly local stuff right now. I'm down in South Texas. That's where Rockport is. And it's by Corpus Christi. So just keep an eye on the page and we'll let you know from there.
That sounds so easy that even I can figure it out.
Itinerary as yet, right?
Right. But you do have somebody that handles like your publicity. You've got a publicist that handles all your social media stuff, so they can find.
Up at the beach, I take my lab to the beach. I hit my pool. I mow the lawn. You know.
Yeah.
Some stuff.
But we can find your music on all streaming platforms: on Apple, on Spotify, and
Pandora.
And then find you in concert and buy all your T-shirts and all your hats and all your merch and all your old albums. And
my posters
and your posters and autograph them all. The Prisoner.
Yeah. Right on.
You get things coming up this summer to promote the album or are you going to tour?
Well, if I get an opportunity, but like I say, it's all independent. Yeah. And so whatever happens, we'll see what happens. I have a bigger idea about like a label I want to go to or a tour too. Also, I'm renewing my passport. Don't want to talk about it, but you know, have anything solid planned. I mean, I'm not going to act like I do.
Hook up with Bex Marshall over in the UK and do a little trade-off thing. Met her up in Burlington, Vermont. She came across the pond and played this little club. And I didn't know her from Eve. And she steps up with a resonator. It was a 3-piece band, a bass player, drummer, and her on a resonator. And she's was the UK's female acoustic blues vocalist of the year for like several years standing, playing at this little club. And it's not a little club. It's a well-known club in Burlington, but it's a small stage and a small venue.
Yeah. You know,
maybe a couple hundred people there. A phenomenal show. And she's just so down to earth. She's so much like you in that.
American, right?
She's what?
She's American.
No, she's from Great Britain. She's the Great Britain female acoustic blues vocalist of the year several years running or something.
I have a little following in Europe. I have a little, in fact, I sent a CD and stuff to a French radio station already.
Uh-huh.
I have a little following there in France and the UK and a couple of places. And I would just like to take it, you know, I know they love American blues there.
Sure.
And, you know, I really feel like, you know, I mean, I think it's great how everybody can play the blues, but I think Americans got the edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be nice.
It came from here.
I'm anxious to take it there. In fact, I was in Paris when I did, so many roads, so many trains. I did that at a club. We went to go see what a blues band in Paris sounded like, and they turned out they were from Elkhart, Indiana.
Oh.
But, so I sat in with them.
How fun.
In a little bar, the only song that I could remember at the time, any lyrics to, this was like 1992, and I was So many roads, so many trains by Otis Rush. So I sang it and I mean, honestly, I ripped on it. I was crawling on the bar and we were having a wonderful time. And And I left there with, I was with Brett Hostetler then, and he said, you know, you're good at that. He had never really, you know, a lot of stuff I do is blues oriented.
Right.
Blues based. Never heard me just do that. It's like, oh, well, yeah, I knew that. So that's what made us just kind of quit trying to do whatever the next thing was.
Yeah.
And just fall back and say, you know, I'm just going to do the blues. And I just wrote. And all the pressure was off to be another Diane Warren and come up with, you know, all these great epic tunes for chicks, myself or whatever. And I just didn't care. And I just wrote for myself. And that's where I'm comfortable. I mean, I was just telling the band member,
I just do this because I like it. And there's, mm-hmm. and because I'm independent, there isn't pressure, which I have literally been under. Wonderful pressure. I mean, a lot of people would like to be under the pressure of pleasing a record company and you know, fans, etc. But, you know, really, since I've been 20, it's always been quite a bit of pressure and a lot of, I don't know. I don't want to say hard knocks. There are much harder situations in life. But it becomes, when it becomes so hard, I like doing it for fun. I like doing it easy. You know? I don't want to run.
Right. Yeah. There you go. Well, Karen, it's been a real blast. I'm glad we connected. I'm glad Doug Deutsch introduced us and get you and Mike Zito. Get you over to Mike Zito's records and get on his label.
Yeah. Tell him about me.
Are you listening, Zito? Zito, if you're listening, check her out, man. We'll do it again. Yeah. Rockport, Texas, and Karen Lawrence, our guest today, kicking off the state of Texas. Thanks, Karen. Up next, a bluegrass singer, songwriter named Jane Tronberry from Lubbock, Texas, will be our guest tomorrow, right here on the Music of America podcast.
You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our best of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America podcast.